Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Isla Noon is a New Zealand-based singer and songwriter. Growing up listening to the likes of Boney M. as a toddler before devouring everything from Leonard Cohen through to Caroline Polachek, Wolf Alice, and Lord later in life, Isla's core musical memories drive vehemently through her powerful pop stylings, merging into creations that are intelligent and intimate in equal measure. Writing music from an early age and first picking up the guitar when she was 10 years old, her academic pursuits soon merged with her creative passions before she ultimately transformed into the formidable artist as we know her. From her work being described by Rolling Stone as glistening dance pop perfection, through to a string of local and international successes already under her belt, Isla's gaze now sits fixed on the near future with a groundbreaking debut album on the way. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Isla Noon. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Oh, thank you for having me. I am currently in Auckland, New Zealand, doing very well because today was a public holiday, so I've been very relaxed all day.
Cool. So now let's rewind. At what age did you think you want to be in the music entertainment world, and how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I've always really enjoyed performance. I think that's one thing that my parents would probably say that I've been doing since I was very small. So I've always loved putting on a show, I guess, but it was around probably age 8 that I started writing like little songs, and realized that's something I like doing. And then at about 10, I started learning to play guitar and participating more in the arts in school. And I think that's when I started going, oh, hang on, this is actually, you know, something that I absolutely love doing and want to keep pursuing. So I'm fairly young, I guess.
And what were the next steps?
Next steps, honestly, were to get better at guitar to the point where I could play the songs that I was writing.
Okay.
And then I just got involved in as much as I could. I also started singing lessons. I was just trying to get as good as I possibly could. And from there, I went and studied music at university. Which was sort of that next level education, I guess. Yeah.
And what subjects do you learn at music in university?
The degree that I did, so I did a Bachelor of Music, but I was really specializing in songwriting performance and specifically vocal performance. So okay. Quite fortunate to have gone to a university where I could literally do papers that were songwriting focused papers. So for instance, I did a project where I wrote for a number of other artists, and I could submit that, which was fantastic. But my favorite was probably the singing stuff. I got really technical about the voice and about looking after it, and just sort of pushed myself to another level with that performance. So it's hugely, you know, transformative.
Okay, so from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what motivates it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Let's dive into your creative brain.
Yeah, songwriting, that's changed so much for me over the years. Currently, I feel like I've just tapped into a process that I've been using for a year or two now, which is much more free. And I kind of call it like bodily. I'm a very sort of up here thinking brain person. And I think part of my journey has been pulling myself out of that. So, a lot of the time it is me messing around on an instrument, whether that's my main instrument, guitar, or something else. Sometimes that's piano. I'm not a proficient player, but I can sort of write enough on a piano. Usually I will just be playing around on an instrument, coming up with some melodies, just letting it be this really free flowing experience. And then some words will generally start coming out. I can't really explain how that happens, but some things will just start coming to me, or images and stuff, and I sort of try and note that down as I go. And when I get to a point where I go, okay, yeah, I'm kind of feeling like this musical idea is going somewhere, I'll sit down and generally free write lyrics just based on how I'm feeling. What am I dealing with right now? What are the first thoughts that are coming to my head? That's usually where I find something fresh to write about. So, yeah, that's definitely become a much more sort of relaxed process for me over the years.
So you mentioned that you used to be more in your head and you let go to your body. So does that mean that your doubting, criticizing mind used to, sorry, not trust what you were doing?
I guess so. I think it's more just a growing up thing as well. I mean, initially, as a teenager, I wasn't really sure if what I was writing was good or, how much life experience did I really have to bring to it. So that's kind of been a process of trusting myself over the years and also not being afraid of what's going to come up, because sometimes I'll write about something that's very personal. And I think it took me a long time to get to a point where I was comfortable with putting that out there, not necessarily as a representation of myself, but just as something that I'm offering up, basically.
So I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So NLP is the way
No.
people process information, okay? So each person has a dominant, a secondary, and a tertiary. So a dominant means that you'll be in it most of the day, your secondary a couple of hours, and your tertiary one will be maybe half an hour, if at all. So you've got visual people, auditory people, and kinesthetic people. So visual people create pictures out of the information they're receiving. Auditory people is about hearing the words and hearing the sentences and then understanding it from there. Kinesthetic people is about understanding the body language, tone of voice, energy, all those unseen sort of information that's coming through. So now when you're listening, focusing specifically on music, when you're listening to music of your own or by other artists, are you creating a picture of what you're hearing? Are you hearing the words, or is it about the feeling?
I think for me, it's primarily about the feeling. But specifically with my own music in the writing process, it's very visual. So I think it depends if I'm writing or if I'm taking in,
And when you are listening to songs by other artists, are you able to relax and just listen to the music, or is your technical brain unpacking what you're listening to?
I think I'm able to relax. I think sometimes I'm more in that technical space. I've been working all day or I've been in the studio all day. I tend to not really be able to listen to music because my brain is locked into that mode. So I think it depends where I'm at, and whether I can reach that point. But absolutely, if I can just sink into some music and let the feeling take over, that's definitely what I prefer.
And is it different type of genres of music to what you create? Is it easier to relax with that kind of music?
Maybe. I don't think my listening tastes veer too far off of what I make. I think I sort of go in the vein of what I make and maybe a sidestep here and a sidestep there, or going back to some of the things that I heard in the house growing up and things like that. But for the most part, I really listen to a lot of pop music, but a lot of singer-songwriters, folk musicians, rock, somewhat adjacent to what I'm making.
So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, listening to song from one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls, and even cassettes are on a massive comeback, specifically vinyls. But we've also got these digital platforms that people consume music on. What's your observation of the landscape currently?
Well, I'm with you. I'm a big CDs person. So I'm still collecting CDs. That's what I started with, and that's what I'm still going with. So that's my preference other than streaming, which is obviously very accessible. But at the moment, I mean, streaming has just taken over, hasn't it? I don't think we can deny that that's what most people are using. And it is the most accessible generally for people financially as well. There are questions there for me in terms of how much of that is making it back to artists and creatives. That's a really big fight worldwide. But I'm so supportive of physical media. If that's something that you want to put your money towards or that you want to enrich your space with, to have the physical object there. I mean, yeah, I am a fan of loads of people where I own their CDs. So, I love that experience. I love interacting with something physically. And being able to support someone much more directly. You know,
Yeah.
if you really enjoy their album through streaming, why not just go grab the CD?
Exactly.
It's going to make them, you know, 10 times more money than streaming their music ever will.
But it's interesting you say that. A lot of the people who are not really in the industry don't actually realize that the artists are not making a lot of money from the streaming. I mean, I speak to a lot of people
Yeah.
all the time and I explain the situation to them and they're actually shocked and horrified.
Yeah, it's definitely not, I don't think it's publicized enough. And at the same time, you know, we're in an arts industry when as much as I think it's vital to society, it's not a life and death situation if there's Spotify or not. So there's a very nuanced conversation to have there about, you know, how much we're compensating artists. But for sure, the system is, it's not set up in an equitable way. It's not set up in a way where people can fund this kind of lifestyle. So I definitely think we don't need to be putting the pressure on fans to make up for that, but certainly to maybe make the general public more aware of if they'd like to support someone, how best to do that.
Exactly. What do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh, performing live. It's probably my favorite thing. Someone asked me a little while ago if I had to give up writing. What was it? It was like writing, recording, or performing live. The one that I would save would be performing live. Not that I don't love everything else, but I think I accessed a part of myself very young through performing live that was very important to my growth as a person. I was really able to be a version of myself growing up that now I'm trying to welcome more into my everyday life, and I only really know she exists because she comes out the minute that I get on stage. And I think a lot of performers have, I've had conversations like this with them where there's a sense of freedom and total expression, which is such a privilege to be able to do as a human being. And then to share that with other people in a room, it's so immediate. And so there's like an electricity to that, that, I think a lot of us are a little bit addicted to.
So I'm that guy who's normally right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming, I'm doing my thing. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two songs, one or two pictures, one or two videos, and then I put my phone away. And I notice the people around me, a lot of the time, they have 80, 90% of the time, they're videoing, posting, tweeting, whatever they're doing. Do you find the person on receiving that or seeing a bunch of phones that it disconnects you from the audience, or it's just where society is at the moment?
From my own actual experience of performing, I haven't come up against that to the point where it's actually jarring for me. You know, I play small venues here in New Zealand. I'm not playing arenas where people are all holding up their phones. I'm sure that is a total like sight to see.
Not yet, not yet. Sorry, just
Not
interrupt.
yet,
Not
not
yet,
yet.
not yet.
Yeah, but it is a little strange, I think, even as a fan at concerts, if you just have loads of phones up in front of you. It is quite strange to me. I think if I'm attending someone's show, I really want to feel present and there. That's what it's about. So I think as a performer, I know that it's part of the experience. And so, you know, you see a couple phones going up and that's fine. I think if someone's holding it up the whole show, I'd sort of be going, you know, you could probably just watch it on YouTube at that point.
Exactly.
It's probably cheaper that way.
It's funny, I was at a concert a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago. It was like one of these festivals, and the main artist JP Cooper came on, and this girl was an absolute fan, but the entire time he was on the stage, she turned her back to him and was recording herself singing the songs with him tiny in the background. She actually did not see him. And I was like watching him, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's I've got to say that's confusing for me. Like I'm so supportive of people enjoying music how they want, but I think if you've paid to see someone, you know, just try being there.
Yeah,
Try
exactly.
just watching and feeling it. Yeah.
So what's happening? You've got the new single coming out. What the next steps?
So yeah, my single Her has just come out a couple of weeks ago. From here, I'm actually finishing up an album at the moment, which I've not announced, but I've started talking about it. So here I go. And yeah, that's been just a massive piece of work that I'm sort of at the tail end of at the moment. So currently I am in the mixing phase in the mastering phase, in the getting all visuals together and everything like that. So that's a whole new journey for me.
And do you have an idea when that will be coming out?
I don't have a month, but it's for sure this year. I'm
Okay.
really, second half of 2024.
There we go. Okay. So I love this game. I know if I had to ask this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 years, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and recognize that because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists, once we finish this conversation, what would those songs be and by whom?
Okay. First one at the moment, I don't know why I have a hyperfixation with Ashes to Ashes by David Bowie.
Okay.
Not sure why, it's just happened. Number two for me at the moment, I'm really into the Cocteau Twins album Heaven or Las Vegas. So like anything on there, but particularly Cherry Coloured Funk at the moment. 17 Going Under by Sam Fender. I really love Sam Fender. So that's on in my car at the moment, CD that's in my car. Oh, top of mind right now. I mean, one of my favorite albums is Blue Weekend by Wolf Alice, and there's a song called Delicious Things,
Okay.
which I just return to all the time. What's one more? I'm sure there's more that I'm listening to at the moment. I'll actually pull up my Spotify because I was listening to stuff earlier today. Oh, the Conan Gray album. I don't know if you know that, but Conan Gray has just released an album that's so unapologetically 80s. And there's a song on there called Fainted Love, which
Okay.
I love it. I think I grew up on a lot of 80s pop music, so it's really hitting that spot for me.
Is that what you grew up listening to as a child?
Yeah, a lot of
Yeah.
like 80s pop, 90s, slightly dancey Afrikaans music. And then from my dad, a lot of like singer-songwriters and serious guys with guitars. Yep.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Wow, to the world.
To the world.
Oh my gosh. I think you ask a thinking brain person like me and we'll just get stunned to address the whole world. But if there's anything that I've been talking to my friends about recently, it's accepting what you can control and what you can't control. And I don't know if that's a really random thing, but that's top of mind for me. I think there's a lot going on at the moment where it's quite a heartbreaking environment worldwide, and there's only so much you can do for that, and also protecting yourself and your own health and well-being through that. So just not getting too down there and just figuring out, how best can you contribute positively to your environment where you are.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.